like I said, it was a good time. We enjoyed doing nothing. A couple days I did a few things, and a couple days, this is what I'm going to do. 11 o'clock, I finally get off my chair off the porch. It's too hot to do anything. That's a good thing. You're allowed to do that. But some time ago, we were studying, and I told Angela, I have got to study this out. I want to look at this, and because there's only two places in the Bible this is even mentioned. So if you want a title for today's message, it's called Root of Bitterness. And I'm not going to get through it all today, but we're going to get the just most of it laid down. So go ahead and open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. This is where we were at. You know, the other place it's mentioned is Deuteronomy, I believe, 29. It says, therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profound person like Esau, who sold one morsel of food, for one morsel of food sold his birthright. I'll get it out. So we're going to look at the first verse, 12. Strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Psalm 144:1 says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly... Oh, yep, I sure did. I'm like, yeah, that ain't right. Man, it went so fast. One day it won't work, next day it's lightning. Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Now, you may say that's the same thing. It absolutely is not. See, there's three major phases in war. There's war in general, right? World War II, Vietnam War, the Gulf War. It's a war. The country's at war. There are campaigns. Each campaign had its own name. The last two ones we had were Operation Iraqi Freedom and Enduring Freedom. Those were campaigns. You have the war as the main thing, but inside those campaigns, there are these things called battles. Fallujah, Baghdad, Kabul, just to name a few. These were places where it got nitty-gritty with the enemy. See, David was saying, blessed be God, my rock, the one I stand upon, who trains my hands for war. Your hand is the whole thing. But then he says, and my fingers for battle, for the details. Sometimes when we're praying, we don't have to actually get into details unless God shows it to us. But then there's things God does show us that we have to address, we have to deal with. You know, I've talked a few times with my brother about some of his experiences. He has six combat tours. And he talked about things. And things that went on. You know, most of us would just shudder to think that it was even real. But he said, you can't imagine the fear. See, we all get a little bit scared because somebody looked at us wrong on the road or in the street. The guy wasn't carrying an AK-47 or an RPG. Or it wasn't a child strapped to a bomb. By the way, your enemy does not care. And David was like, I need the details for this battle, Lord. As a strategist, details matter. It'll just work. It'll just work. No, sometimes don't. D-Day took planning. different countries, the sheer amount of people that were involved. And this is what David was saying. But it goes right back to what we read in the book of Hebrews. Strengthen the feeble hands. See, our hands get lazy. We don't want a war. We don't want to deal with the problems. We don't want to pray. We want to tell people what we think. Well, I'll give you a dollar and you can go down somewhere and you might be able to buy a drink. I don't know anymore. But the reality is, you need to pray and you need to be dealing with the problems at hand. We're at a war. The Bible tells us we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, and rulers of the air. We're not fighting against each other. We're not fighting against Democrats, Republicans, communists, anything. Left wing, right wing. We're not fighting against that. We're fighting against the spirit of Antichrist, which Jesus said has been in the world. Guess what? It was in the world before Christ. It was in the world before Noah. I don't believe that Christ didn't come till. It's a spirit of anti-anointing. The anti the power of God. It's that spirit, that force. You're not fighting against a person. You're fighting against the spirit, and you need to know this stuff. You need to be able to battle. Now, go to Isaiah 40. Even the youth shall fail, shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So many people know that one by heart. We've been claiming it. We've been walking it. We've been living it, right? We've been declaring it. I love the fact that that song, I Will Wait, I was just standing there. I was like, Lord, you are so good. You are so, so good. Run, not grow weary. Walk, not faint. Wait. Those who wait. We've talked about waiting before, haven't we? Well, if you use it in one term, and the English language is such a messed up. Wait, I can sit. Waiting on a woman, right? The song. Brad Paisley sitting on the bench at the mall, waiting on his wife. Wait, would you like iced tea? Serving, right? That's what it is. You know what's hilarious? It's not what that word means. Not that one. I looked down like, so I'm breaking it down, going through some of my study books. It says here, the root meaning is that of twisting or winding a strand of cord or rope. Scholars are not sure how this gives the idea of hope. That's what it means, hope. But in it, the imagery. See, words have images. And that's what you got to think when you're hearing the words. Well, there's hope, but it's a twisting of like a rope. It signifies depending on and ordering activities around a future event. Kind of changes what wait means, doesn't it? It doesn't just mean sit and wait for the next thing to happen. It means to take now and order the things in your life around something strong. I believe the idea of the rope, and this is what I wrote. I believe the idea of the rope is that we are to intertwine our lives into God's plan for us, which puts us in his plan for others. By intertwining our lives with him, he becomes our strength. We are no longer a single cord holding on for all we're worth. Ecclesiastes 4:9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help. By the way, if you think you're a lone wolf, that just shot a hole in the head of your religion. You're not called to be a lone wolf. God said it's not good for man to be alone, period. But he said, I'm going to give him a wife. But it's not good for you to say, I don't need friends. I'm sorry, the word says you do. End of discussion. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm, especially if they're going through hot flashes. I was freezing last night. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. They will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one man may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And threefold cord is not quickly broken. So, some of you may have seen it when I came in. Got a little piece of rope here. I came in this morning. Phil and Richard both thought I was coming in to beat people. And I said, well, you know, Jesus did fashion a whip out of rope, right? Well, yeah, I did. I mean, come on. My granddaughter got it, honestly. Did you notice how many strands are in this piece of rope? There's three. This is hemp, natural. It was a plant growing. Somebody took all those fibers and pulled them out, and they made all of those. They made each strand out of them. Ecclesiastes said, two are better than one. Our lives are supposed to be intertwined with other people's. I don't need people. Yeah, you do. Shut up. You need people. Because if you fall in that ditch, who's helping you out? I'll rely on God. Yeah, God sent you people. He's put people in your life for a reason. Quit being a bonehead. This is strong. See, as a single, it's got a certain amount of strength. I really don't remember what the tensile strength of this is. Go up to Glenn's Surplus and buy you some and find out. But it's pretty strong even this way. This way, it's got some pretty good strength. But the scripture says, though one may be powered by another, two can withstand him, three is not quickly broken. Now, I have confidence that this rope, I would be able to pull my tractor with it, because I have. It's strong rope. There's three cords. See, there's us, then there's the other people that God puts in our lives, our friends, our family, our brothers and sisters at church. You're not alone. We are stronger with our friends and people that care about us. But we're missing something. The third cord. If we don't have God in our lives, if we're not intertwining our life around Him and His plan with others, our life intertwined in others, if I had just made my decisions based on me, I would not be in Ohio. And I'm growing to where I don't even like the heat in Ohio. I used to love the heat. I'm like, y'all can send me to the South Pacific all you want. Because they said, hey, we got a detachment going to Korea. Anybody want some cold weather training? I just looked at them boys from California and Florida. I said, I grew up in Ohio. Knock yourselves out. I don't want to see any more snow. I like the sunny tropic scenes, you know what I'm saying? If I had continued on that, I wouldn't have asked her out. Wouldn't have got married. Might be dead by now. I'll just be honest. Real good chance I could be dead. I had opportunities. But God played with my emotions. Look at how pretty she is. She smells good. She's a good kisser. Okay, I'll come back to Ohio. I'll come back. So he started intertwining my life with hers. And then we became one. We got married, we became one. Now we're just one again, though. Now we had kids, and our lives started revolving around them. But we came back to Ohio, not for our kids. We came back to Ohio because God spoke to her particularly. He told me, he said, just go back home. He gave her some details. He said, I love the people of Morrow County too. I was good in Onslow County. I mean, there's a bunch of reprobates here. It's a Marine base. Come on. They all need saved. But God brought us back here for you. Our lives began to get intertwined with the people in our church. That's why it's important to become a part of a church. Because you may get attacked, and two of you may be able to hold, but three of you. With us and the Lord, you're not going to fail. Many of you have been through hell and back, to put it mildly, in your personal lives, tragedies. You're still standing. God's still your God. You know why? Because you wrapped yourselves with us and with God. That threefold cord is not quickly broken. And I'm going to dare say that the words "not quickly" don't really mean what they translate to. I did not look those up. Some versions may say "not easily broken." If you got God, let me tell you a little something. It can't be broken. You've got it. He said, I'll never leave you. There may be times you feel like people have left you. Sometimes God's just pulling you away from them. Not because it's of them, but because you need to trust him. So the image that was being created here is of us just being alone and cold. But then he said, but two of us can stay warm. Now, you know, when I first took the hunter safety course years and years ago, that's one of the things they used to teach. That if you are out and you get caught in a blizzard, the best thing to do is to share a sleeping bag. And somebody had to bring up the fact that naked bodies stay warmer easier. That went well in that immature class of teenagers and down. But it is the truth. Not saying I'm getting naked with you, Phil. Just all there is to that. But if we have to, we will. We'll share a bag to stay warm. Because I've had to actually do that in some training. It's like, we're not spooning. Nope. You just back up to me. That's as far as we get. But that's the image he's giving. It's two people caught in a cold, caught in a storm. But I find it funny. He says they'll stay warm, but with the third cord, you're not easily overtaken. It's not quickly broken. And two can withstand him. We're not necessarily talking about the cold, are we? Unless the cold is a male. I've never heard a cold called a boy or a girl. So Ecclesiastes probably isn't talking about specifically Jack Frost. It's talking about a spirit. See, we are creatures who operate and rest at peak temperatures, don't we? Mine has changed over the year. I used to be able to operate no problem at 100 degrees. Didn't bother me a bit. I've gotten a little older, a little fatter. I don't like being out there breathing heavy. They used to tell us you can't run. 5 o'clock in the morning on Okinawa, it would be 95 degrees and 95% humidity. We weren't allowed to be forced to PT, but we were told to run on our own because that's how you build up an endurance, but make sure you drink water. Revelations 3:14, God addressed the Laodicean church as neither hot nor cold. Revelation 2, God addresses the church at Ephesus about leaving their first love. They had let the flame for him go out. With God, we can keep that fire, but it's when we neglect the relationship with God that our relationship with our brothers and sisters will die. Our love for God will get cold because we'll look and say, well, they don't love me. Who told you that lie? I thought that was kind of funny that God said, who told you you were naked? Somebody told them they were naked. Well, their eyes were open. That was a revelation. Who told you people don't love you? And again, I love the analogy. If you feel like God is so far away, who moved? He said he'd never leave you. The first strand of rope is us. The next is others. Then we accept the work of Jesus on the cross, and now we are freed from the weight of our sin, so long as we hold fast to him. I'm trying to remember which ones I put. I think this is where I backed off, because I am going to stop. Seems to me I had another scripture in there. Yeah, we're not going to get into it. But we need to understand that God wants to be a part of our lives. You notice I haven't even gotten to the root of bitterness yet. Because as I sat there and I started studying this, I was going to go like, okay, I'm just going to go ahead and I'm just going to dive right in on the root of bitterness. God said, now come on, boy. I've told you better than that. This conversation isn't just that one scripture. He said, go up to where he starts talking about this. He started talking in verse 12 about strengthening our hands, strengthening our knees, making our path straight. Do you know to keep the path straight, we have to keep things out of our lives, things that so easily beset us. I believe the word says, and set aside those things that literally so easily beset us. Wide is the gate, Jesus said. Wide is that gate that leads to perdition, sin, but narrow. He filters it out. And I haven't even gotten into it. I'm starting to get into that message. I told you I want to preach it. But we're just getting this down. God has to be a part of our relationship. And we have to have other people. When you need prayer, who are you going to call? Ghostbusters ain't going to be there for you. I had to do it. I'm sorry. It was right there. TV preacher's not going to be there. Oh, we've got a prayer line set up for you. Great. They don't know you. Well, it's the same Holy Spirit. I get that. Who's he going to use? The other people that are entwined into our lives. They may not have the words. Some days, folks, I don't have words for you. I like to talk, so you know that's saying something. Most of the times, the words of compassion come from her. Because God gives them to her. But what he has given me is the ability to be there for you. You need me to kick somebody's butt? It can be arranged. I know a man. Devil's coming after you. I know a guy. But we have to stay entwined if we're going to be strong. The second we break away, we're almost done. We feel sorry for ourselves. I just can't do it anymore. Oh, boo, stinking who? What if your child's life depended on it? Huh? What would you do then? I'm going to ask another father. Caleb, somebody's trying to kill your boys. I know him enough. We don't have to go any further. He'll sacrifice his own life. See, it's what Jesus did. He said, the devil wants you. God said, I'm going to send my son, and I'm going to die for you. He sent the most precious thing he had because sin's desire is for us. It wants to destroy us. It wants to pull us out, make us feel sorry for ourselves. Nobody loves me. Nobody understands me. Do you understand you? There's times I look at myself, I don't think the same way I used to, which is a good thing. I didn't have compassion for people. That the saying that it goes around in the military a lot, kill them all and let God sort them out. I adopted that. I'm not thinking twice about it. God arrested me on that thought. Because I didn't care. I now know why God had to make me care. Because I had to be here. You were going to be intertwined in my life. Through all the crap I've been through, just in the last 2 years, well, 5 years. You realize it's been 5 years since I broke my back? Did that in 19. We looked down, looked up, and now we're going into another election. God's got it. God's already in November. He knows it all. Don't lose your peace over it. Because he's the third. Well, what about the Holy Spirit? We got to have the Holy Spirit. Yeah, you're jumping ahead of me. Don't get there. You can see the scripture. I and my Father are one. We'll get there. In time. In time, Padawan, in time. So, Rob, if you'd go get the teachers, kids, we're going to pray over them. But we have got to remain, we've got to stand strong. Well, Pastor, how are you going to restore the strength in my hands? I'm not. It's not my job. My job is to kick your butt when it needs it. To encourage you when it needs it. David prayed to God and he said, bless the Lord who teaches me. Yes. There's things I need to do. You can't. There's things I understand you may not. You need God to break it down for you. Some of you may have to still ask God to break this message down to you, even with a piece of rope. Don't let the devil pull you out of what God's got for you. The devil, John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you may have eternal, or have life and have it more abundantly. That's life now too, folks. Everybody looks, oh, that's life in eternity. Well, that's great, but I got maybe 80 years. And then the devil's doing his best to try to take me out before that. I'm like, next year I pass my grandfather. And then when I hit 61, I'll pass both of them. I'm not looking to just get to 61. My great-grandmother was 95. Got remarried at almost 80. Moved off the river up into a holler. survived a heart attack giving birth to her last child. Didn't know she had the heart attack. We need to be strong for our children, for our grandchildren. We need to show them God's love, introduce him to the God of love. Everybody loves the God of law. It's easier to follow law, unless you're somebody like me. Is there anybody else like me? Come on, you know what I'm talking about. I drive five over. Yeah, you're out there. I know you are. Well, I follow that right on. That's good for you. But I bet I can find other laws you violate. And if you violate that one, you're as guilty as I am. So you're in good company. But guess what? That is man. We will all try it. Pastor says, make sure you come in modestly. Somebody's going to try to come in and reveal a little bit more than should be. And ladies, I want to thank you. You're doing that. Modesty. I've even taken to buttoning up my shirts up higher. They drive me nuts. But you know what? If I cause a woman or a guy problems, that's wrong for me. So I would rather wear my button up to here than to cause you a problem. All right, so if I could have our teachers and our kiddos, the kiddos in particular who go to school, but if you're going to daycare, whatever, that's school too. We've got a lot. I'm going to step over here so they can face out there. I'm looking, the kids are getting so tall, I'm starting to lose my teachers. It comes in stages, you know. You guys have been here long enough, you were the kids at one time. Jeez. But now the kids are growing. Yeah! Kids you taught are your coworkers. Yeah, imagine that. That's a true honor. I know. You did hear what he said, right? Can't argue facts. But anyhow, we're going to pray over you guys. We know sickness and crap runs around. Yeah. That's why we have some people aren't here today. It's because we love to share germs. Just what we do. But I know some of you got situations at work. The devil is running rampage to try to change. We're trying to tell little kids now who just haven't even learned to tie their shoes yet. You can be a boy or a girl. No, you can't. Facts are facts. These are the facts and they are undisputed. God made them male or female. And it's not because he hates anybody. It's because he created us in his image. Special. Every one of you. I look at you. You're all special. And you teachers, you got their minds to pray over every day. So I'm going to pray over you guys, and we're going to believe that God's going to work wonders through you. You guys start soon to school, do you? Next week? 21st, okay. Tuesday, yep. Yeah. Yeah, I knew. That's why I was like, okay, he's over that way, and I thought River Valley started soon, so. So let's pray over these guys. Stand up and stretch your hand out forward. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for our teachers. We thank you for our students, Lord God. I pray right now, Father, for our teachers, Lord God, that you give them wisdom, understanding, compassion, strength. Lord God, I pray for our students and ask, Lord God, that you open their minds to your truth, to understanding the things they have not understood. Father, you will lead them. You will guide them, Father. Father, and if there are things that they need to see, then you will reveal it to them, Lord God. I thank you, Father, that you're blessing them. Father, right now we plead the blood of Jesus over them, each and every one of them, Father, for their places of employment, to where they go to school. Lord, I thank you that the angels are set around about them, Lord God, that no harm shall come nigh their dwelling. And Lord God, you will be with them. Father, you will protect them from sickness. You will protect them from anything that comes to harm them. Lord, I thank you right now that the administrations that are being set up to bring evil, Lord God, you have your teachers in place. These are not the only ones. Lord, I strengthen them all. I pray for them all, that you give them all wisdom. Father, bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, you can go back. We'll wrap this up. And since I shared with you about my foot, what I did learn about it is called a Morton's neuroma, which is a thickening of the metatarsal nerve. And it's non-reversible. The only thing they can do is take it out. So it means I can't feel my feet. It's like, that might not be good. So I will tell you where I'm standing. I am healed. I am whole. And that nerve is going to unthicken, because God didn't create it that way. I may limp from time to time, but bless God, I am getting through it. And I refuse to let the devil win. As Phil was, he's pointing it out, he's telling the truth. I seem to be getting hit with a lot of crap. And it ain't happening. I refuse to accept it. Yeah, that. So, you think about it. Pray for my patience. And pray that bag of cauliflower doesn't go bad every time I pull it out to put it on my foot for the swelling. Like, we. By the way, we should not eat that bag of cauliflower. It has thawed out a few times. But anyhow, so, and just like that, folks, it doesn't mean that God forsook me. It means the devil wants to stop me. And the more that we preach the truth, the more people are set free, the more people are walking in God's power, the more he wants to stop us. All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you and praise you for your word. Lord, I thank you that you're moving in the lives of each and every believer, both here and those who are online. Lord, I thank you right now that you're moving. You are setting aside. You are revealing to them the obstacles that they have put in their way. Lord God, they can move them. You move the ones we can't. And we'll get into that later too, Lord, because you said to cleanse ourselves in the word. So Father, I thank you right now that we're moving. We're going forward in you. Father, strength to each and every weak and feeble hand. Strength to those wobbly knees, Lord God. I call forth the eagle saints to rise up in his strength. Father, I thank you that you're moving. Lord God, you're giving us courage to go for those things. Father, you're giving us wisdom and you're showing us all truth. Father, I thank you for moving in Jesus' name. Amen.